A very good morning to you. It's lovely to be here. Let's pray before we look at God's word together. Lord, would you open our ears to your word this morning? Lord, would you help us to be attentive to your voice speaking to us? Lord, would you stir our hearts? Lord, would you align our wills to your will? And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So it's good to be with you. We're at chapter 7 of Nehemiah. Hope you've been enjoying the sermon series through Nehemiah. We certainly have in the nave. And so far we have been looking at like a great adventure of the people of God as they've set out on a mission together. And we come in chapter 7 to another dramatic time in the narrative of the book of Nehemiah. The people have finished building the walls. The gates are now being put in place and they're repaired. And the city is secure once again. It's what we read about in verses 1 to 3. So the first part of their mission is now accomplished. And it was an amazing job that has been done against all the odds that were before them. They've overcome all of their internal divisions and they've worked together hand by hand. They've united around the purposes of God. And they've been using their gifts, working hand in hand together, we read. And as they worked hand in hand together, we saw that they battled hand in hand together and they prayed hand in hand together as the opposition came and tried to discourage them and to threaten them and to distract them from completing this work that God had called them to do to restore the holy city. So now we come to the point where the walls have been rebuilt. So what next? And it's what we find in verse 4. So verse 4 says this: the city was wide and large, but the people within it were few, and no houses had been rebuilt. You see, those that had come back and had been working in the city was just a small remnant of the people. And now they need to come home. They need to come from the lands that they've been exiled in and to come back to the promised land, to their home, to the holy city. This is the next part of their mission. And we read here in verse 4, it says, the houses had not been rebuilt. You can actually translate this, households, rather than thinking of just physical structures. So the city walls were restored, but now it's time to restore the households, the people, the families, to rebuild the nation into a living city. So we read in verse 5, so my God put it into my heart, this is Nehemiah speaking, to assemble the nobles, the officials, and the common people for registration by families. And there follows one of these bits of scripture with long lists of names of people and numbers of names of people. Those bits that we usually just skip by, don't we? Come across them and go to the next interesting bit. So why are there these lists of names and numbers? I like a phrase that the evangelist J. John uses. He says, you count people because people count. You count people because people count. And that's what this chapter is all about. The main mission of God's people has always been about rebuilding the people, not just the walls of the city. The city and the temple were only ever built in the first place to be a place where the people could come and encounter the living God. From the very beginning, God's people were always called to be a light to the nations, Jerusalem was originally built to be a city set on a hill, shining the light and the glory of God to the nations about. And the walls of Jerusalem were built to keep people safe and not to keep people out. And that's the main theme and image I'm trying to work on today. The walls were built to keep people safe, not to keep people out. We as the people of God should always have an outward focus. It was Archbishop William Temple who said this, and it's something I often quote, "The church is the only organization that exists for the benefit of its non-members." Let me read that again. "The church is the only organization that exists for the benefit of its non-members." We should always be looking to others. Other people are our priority, not ourselves. And all too often, the church forgets that. All too often, we begin to think about my membership rights, as if we have any rights. We forget that we're members of the living body of Christ. And the living Christ gave himself for the world. And he calls us to give ourselves for the world that God loves. That is God's mission. It's to be our mission. And so we exist for others. And it's part of what our church theme of walls down means. We can express it like this, I think. You know our theme by now, I hope. Roots down plus walls down plus bridges out equals gathering people in. And this is what we see in our passage today. It's a time, in the time of Nehemiah, of a great ingathering, gathering people in. The walls have been rebuilt. The city is safe. And now the people are being recalled to the land. There's a great ingathering going on. Take a look at this old photo of the cathedral. I don't know if you can see it. Well, you can't see it because I can't see it either. There it is. What is missing from that picture? It's a very old picture. You might not be able to see it, but around the church, there are no walls, no fences, no gates, no barriers. When St. Andrew's Cathedral was originally built, it was on open land. It was open to the world around about it. Now, of course, things have changed. Singapore has changed. In fact, we've got a new CNS building here, very different from the old nave outside. We're surrounded by busy roads. There are high-rise buildings. We need walls and fences of some kind. We need security in this day and age. PCC actually is talking about security quite a lot at the moment and improving our security. But no matter how many walls and how many fences we put up, we cannot keep all out. Can you remember this from a couple of weeks ago? I know you saw that video a couple of weeks ago. The otters coming in. It's worth showing again, I think it's fun. Now, this happened on the day before I preached this sermon in the nave a couple of weeks ago. So it was a very, very timely illustration. And it's still an illustration today. We can move on from it now. Just press click and stop it. What I'm beginning to talk about here is about our heart and our mindset. Our primary posture, if you like, must be towards those who are outside. It shouldn't be about policing, but about welcome. And I'm not just talking about physical walls and fences, of course not. I'm talking about how we are with people. I'm talking about who we are as a people. I'm talking about what we do here within our walls. You see, our primary posture must be all about embracing, about being open to others, embracing others in the name of Jesus, because that is exactly what Jesus did himself, isn't it? He opened wide his arms on the cross, and he embraced this world of sin. He opened his arms wide on the cross, and embraced us, sinners. And this is Jesus's ordinary posture. And this should be the posture of the church. Welcoming, drawing others in, reaching out, accepting the outsider, accepting the vulnerable, the seeker, the outcast, the needy, the broken. This was always the position of Jesus. And this should be a fundamental part of what it is to be the people of God. Facing outwards rather than looking inwards. So my first application is about what I want to call ingathering, by going outside of our walls. So as we read on in Nehemiah, we see that it's not just Jerusalem that is repopulated, but the people come back to the surrounding areas, to the villages and the towns of Judea. People are coming back to the promised land of God. Now, we are a city church, and we have a responsibility, therefore, to be reaching outside to the rest of the wider nation, outside of ourselves. The writer to the Hebrews, in chapter 13, he puts it this way. He takes the image of how Jesus was crucified outside of the walls. And what he's saying is, because of that, the outside world is now hallowed, is consecrated. And so he says, go outside of the walls, because that's where Jesus has gone. And that's where Jesus is, and that's where Jesus goes. And so we are to take the saving power of Jesus outside of our walls, outside of ourselves, outside of the camp, is the language that he uses in Hebrews. To go to those who are far off. Now this cathedral has, through its history, often gone outside of its walls. And we've got a new opportunity to do that. A few weeks ago, I think you saw a presentation about the Jurong church planting project. This is coming out of the cathedral, coming out of the English and the Mandarin language part of the cathedral. It's being anchored by Westside Anglican Church and by Jurong Anglican Church. Some slides should come up here. Since they began to reach out into the western part of Singapore, they've had four different places where they've been worshipping. They've got no building as yet to call their own. There's another map here. This is out on the west side of Singapore. They're looking for a permanent home, their own walls, so to speak, to be able to bring people into and to reach out from. So why there? There's another map that comes up. Because the concentration, if you can see there, of the churches is nearly all central and east. There are very few churches in the West. In fact, there is no Anglican presence in the west of Singapore at all, the western side. This is an important opportunity for us to go outside our own walls, to invest in somewhere where very few others are investing, to build the kingdom of God where very few others are. So first application, let's give ourselves to this new opportunity. Out on the information table later, you'll be able to find ways that you're able to give, ways that you're able to support. It could be that you've got gifts that you can use for these new initiatives. If so, do speak to the leaders. We need to go outside. We need to give of ourselves to go out. So this is one way that we can do it. We can certainly join hand in hand praying with WAC and GAC as they build the kingdom outside our walls. And then the next thing, application I want to think of is about ingathering and what I want to call returning. We have here the real privilege of impressive buildings. There's the historic nave. There's this grand, modern, new sanctuary. And you know, it's so easy for us to take these for granted. I often have visitors come and see me, or people passing through, and I show them around. And always the reaction is the same. And with Europeans particularly, not necessarily the nave, we've got lots of old buildings. But when they come and peer through those windows and look in here, they always go, wow, because that's not what they expect to see down here. We have a huge responsibility to care for what God has entrusted to us. But I do hope that we know that it's not all about the buildings. It's not about the walls. Our buildings are only here to serve the purposes of God. Our main responsibility is to ensure that they do not become what Nehemiah says in verse 4, a place which is wide and large, but with few people in it. We are wide and large and have two wide and large buildings. And at first sight, this might not seem a particular issue to us because both buildings very often have a lot of people in them. You've not got every seat taken up today, but many, many seats are taken up here. We are recognized as a mega church here within Singapore because we've got over 3,000 people who worship on a Sunday. In fact, their membership is a lot larger than that on paper. Some might say that we are successful, but things can change very, very quickly. A quote that I often use, and I've used it a few times in the nave, is a very sobering quote. The church is only ever one generation away from extinction. The church is only ever one generation away from extinction. Singapore has seen wonderful church growth over its time as a nation. From the 1970s, there was a great deal of growth. St. Andrew's Cathedral was at the heart of the revival that went on here and the expansion of the church. But we should never, ever become complacent. And sadly, so often we do. Revival is the sovereign work of God where he gathers in multitudes into the kingdom. It's a sovereign work of God. But we are not in revival at this time. We should be praying, and we are praying for revival. But when we're not in revival, what we do is we work hand in hand with God as he brings in people one by one. Family by family, person by person, This is our mission. This is our calling. And the reality is, the Anglican Church in Singapore has had very little growth in the last few years. In fact, there is a general decline in church attendance in Singapore, despite mega churches. In fact, when you put new converts and church growth alongside population rise, there is a decline that is already happening here in the Singaporean church. We know that we're all aging. That's easy to say in the nave, but it can say that here as well, I'm afraid. It's hard to believe, but I'm going to be 60 next year. I don't feel 60. I often think that I'm 36 and a handsome young clergyman when I was first ordained. But the reality is, we're aging and I'm aging. May the Lord keep our hearts young, but we're not young and we're of a different culture, many of us, and a radically different culture than our children and young people and young adults today. We probably all know that the decline in the Western church has been dramatic. And that decline has been especially in the older and more institutional churches. My home nation, the UK, the Church of England has been at the very hit very hard in this decline. Over two-thirds of decline has happened in the last 50 years. So the period of the nation of Singapore as a republic of its own, the Church of England has declined by two-thirds. That is some decline, isn't it? Most of it in the last 25 years. So it went from 5 million in 1960 to 1.2 million in the year 2000, and it's now well below 1 million, probably about 750,000. There are many complicated, complex cultural reasons for that. I've not got time to explain it, to go into that. But one of the main things is this. The church was simply not accepting the signs before it. It refused to adapt, and it was far too late when it tried to. We lost two generations in very short succession, and it happened so very quickly. And we adapted, but too late. Now, while Southeast Asia culture is different in many ways, there are many, many similar things, not least materialism and consumerism and individualism is all a growing part of your culture. All cities are going through cultural upheaval. It's a reality that's happening within it. If I may, I want to quote your Prime Minister and his National Day speech. And part of what he said here was, "The Republic once again stands on the cusp of change, and Singaporeans must not be found wanting." Remember he said that? Then he talked about standing when the test came. But if you don't mind me using this quote, we can say this. The culture in Singapore and in Asia is on the cusp of change, and the church must not be found wanting. We need an ingathering inside our walls, within our walls. And this ingathering that we must focus on must be the new generations. When we look around St. Andrew's Cathedral, church of 3,000 plus, how many children do we have? We've got a few, the 8 and 11, 15, There are some sitting here, struggling through what's going to be a long talk. I didn't realize there'd be children here today. So it's great, but how many children do we really have? How many youth do we have? How many young adults do we have in proportion to our 3,000 plus membership? Not many. Not really. Not enough to be self-sustainable. Nowhere near. The cathedral, in fact, the Anglican Church in Singapore is teetering on the edge of losing a generation. And I'm not being overdramatic, because I've seen it before in my own ministry. It's a reality that we must open our eyes to. I was part of the pioneer movement in the Church of England in the 90s. We were developing new churches, new ways of worship, what we call new expressions. And all through this time, doing some quite radical things, I always had the support of the bishops, the encouragement of the bishops, but very often the resistance, not just of traditional church members, but regular church members not wanting to change. And I'm not just talking about those people that like liturgical, traditional liturgy. You know, all traditions can resist change. I have to say that the CNS feels quite traditional. I'm not criticizing, please don't misunderstand me. I'm just saying that things sometimes have to be different in different places, and we need to face that. So in terms of our future, it might be the pull of the modern mega churches with their concert-style worship that draws our young people and our young adults. It'll be the pull of this radical changing culture that is all around of us. And so we must do something. And I'm really pleased that we are going to be. So we've hopefully heard of a new service that we're wanting to plant, a new initiative. This is aimed at youth and young adults. It's an open service, but that's what it's aimed at. And it's of vital importance to our future. In fact, some of our key leaders are away in KL at the moment, at HTBB. So Pastor Harley and Peter Lim and Kenneth Ernest and Dennis Lowe, they're away learning from HTBB and KL. HTBB is planted from Holy Trinity Brompton, London, HTB London. We're partnering with them as we learn from them and partner together, even in this part of the world. We're wanting to develop our ministry to modern generations. What we call millennials, actually, is the name to our modern generation. But also to the culture that is emerging. There's always a new culture that is emerging, and we're on an emerging new culture. It hasn't got a name yet. And you know, our cultures are changing so quickly. It's something that a lot of us, perhaps, certainly if you're over 50 and certainly over 60, you didn't know cultural changes. The cultures are changing every 10 years. And it's hard to keep up with them. But we must try. So we must invest what we're calling prime time. That's why we want to do a service at 11:30. I've got to give up people from my 11:15 congregation, give up children and youth ministers to be part of it. We have to give prime people. We need to give prime resources. We should not miss this opportunity. And so this new initiative is about gathering and ingathering those outside. It's actually a calling back home, because a lot of this generation have been exiled from the church. There are so many prodigals in the current generation. So it's about bringing them home. It's about creating a space for those that have got disillusioned with institutional church. And there are many, many of them. So our Christian youth and our Christian young people and our children, as they are growing up, they are going to need a place where they can feel at home. And more importantly, a place where they can bring their friends and they can evangelize from, because they cannot from institutional church. Or it's very difficult. So we need to be helping them. It's about creating a space and an environment for the lost to come home. And amongst all of this, our cathedral church, CNS, the nave, are of utmost importance, of course, because we are the rootedness that is needed. The maturity is here. In fact, the finances are here. So we remain vital to this. It's no good trying to turn the nave into a modern concert-style worship place, or even CNS come to that. But we do need to do something for our young adults and young people. It's not about being trendy. It's about creating space and an environment. And my final application, I want to just go back to where I started. In Nehemiah, the walls were not rebuilt to keep people out, but to provide a safe place where people could come in. That's why we need to do something new, but it's why we need to continue to build the places that we already have, to provide a safe place to bring people into, to provide a safe place where people can come and meet with the living God. Because if we're not very careful, we so easily erect barriers that make it difficult for people. As I said when I was in the nave, and we can do it here, we just got to look around, and we've got huge walls. In fact, your walls are underground. Impenetrable. It's really, really hard for visitors to come in. A lot of you have been coming to church for many, many years. You just walk on in. It's your home. It's easy. Have you ever put yourself in the place of a visitor? Or even in the place of a non-believer who tried to cross in to the great big doors in the nave? Or even here, we have to come down through an amphitheater and peer in through the glass doors and wonder, what's going on in there? What's it like? We need to help people to come in as much as we possibly can. How do we help people to be able to come in? It takes a lot of courage for people to come near here because they feel an outsider very often. Think about those who are hurting. Think about those who are feeling vulnerable. Think about those who are coming in need of forgiveness and they already feel unworthy and dare I even approach this place. So how do we help them come in? Many people have no idea what they're going to encounter. And sometimes when they come in, they wonder what on earth we're doing with our funny Anglican ways. The thing is, do we think about how it feels to them? We must always be looking outside to others. It's a heart thing. So our walls down means being welcoming. It means being hospitable. It means watching out for the newcomer. It means you got space here today, but it means moving over if somebody comes in, particularly with a family, to make space for them. It means not having our own seats that we like to sit in, but being able to move, to allow others to come in and to find space. It means showing people where we are in the service, helping them understand what is happening and what is going on. It means accepting people who are different. It means engaging with our neighbor. I love what you're doing here this morning as you're engaging with one another. We have to work hard at welcome, and especially if we're wanting to bring people in from outside. And I know our ushers and welcomers do a great job in all of our different buildings. But what is really, really needed is that every single member is a bright, smiling welcomer to those that come in. We're all on welcome team. We're all to be encouragers of others. So let us take great care not to build walls that keep people out, and do everything that we can to draw people in. Let us actively build what the Bible calls walls of salvation. At the time of Nehemiah, the people had been pushed out into exile, been sent out into other lands. They had been displaced. And during that time, God spoke to them through the prophets. And he promised that he would bring them home, that he would restore them once again to their land, and that he would continue to be their God. And at this time, he spoke through the prophet Isaiah these words. Isaiah 26, "In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God makes salvation its walls and ramparts. Open the gates." Can you see that image? These walls are built to keep people safe, but we open the gates so that people might come in. Isaiah 58, "You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings." Restoring people back to the living God. Isaiah 60, "You will call your walls salvation and your gates praise." They didn't build the walls of Jerusalem to keep people out, but to keep people safe. So brothers and sisters, may this cathedral church in all of our services be a safe place where people can gather in. May it be a welcoming place where the presence of the living Jesus is real and among us. May we be a place of salvation. May we build walls of salvation. May we go outside and plant new life, like in Jurong. May we boldly adapt to the changing culture about us. May we reach out in imaginative and creative new ways, where the lost are restored back to their Father in heaven, and they discover the God who loves them. Where the hurting receive healing from their brokenness, freedom from guilt and shame and sin. And that kind of church will always live and will always grow. Let's pray together. Lord, we want to thank you for all that you've done in the life of St. Andrew's Cathedral over the many, many years that Christians have met and worshipped, through all the changes that have come about here in Singapore. Lord, thank you that you have done wonderful things and that you are at work amongst us. But Lord, as we are in changing times, and we're in challenging times, Lord, by your Spirit, would you embolden us and empower us and give us the resources that we might reach a new generation for you. Lord, that we might sustain the rootedness and the maturity that we have within so many in the life of this church, but that we might also reach out and look out and draw in. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.